Well, that is an amazing story, and we're not quite at the end of it yet, but that is a true story, and it's found in the Bible, John chapter 11, and if you have your Bibles with you, you might want to open them at John chapter 11, page 1077. The film that we saw is pretty much the Bible, the words of the Bible spoken over that dramatization there. It's different, slightly different version to the one we use here. But that's pretty much the Bible, the version that we have before us. But it's an amazing story, and we'll see the end of it later. But, you know, there are all sorts of things we could say about this story. I'm just going to say, during the course of this morning, three things that we can take away from that story. The first thing we can see is simply this. Jesus knows what it's like to lose a loved one. It was his friend that had died, Lazarus. Was his friend, his close friend, and he died, and Jesus was very sad about that. Now remember who this is when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about he who had been up in heaven with God from before the beginning of time. And yet he came down to earth, and he felt grief and sadness because he lost a loved one. He was born as a baby. He lived as a man. When he did that, he wasn't dressing up. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't putting on a mask. He was a really, truly man. And he felt just as we do. Do you sometimes feel that nobody understands how you feel? Nobody can understand how frustrating life is, or how sad life is, or why things are so terrible. Jesus has been here. And he understands. He took on the human condition completely. And he experienced that pain of loss and bereavement. That's an amazing thing. We read in verse 35 of chapter 11 that Jesus wept. He didn't keep a stiff upper lip. He wasn't stoical in the face of sadness, his sudden tragic death. He wept. He grieved. He was sad. More than that, in verse 33... and again in verse 38, we read, it says in our version, he was deeply moved in spirit. He was deeply moved. Now, I have to say, on the film that we saw, when it said he was deeply moved, you couldn't really tell from Jesus' face that he was deeply moved. But you know, the word that is used there, deeply moved, is a very, very strong word. It's used elsewhere in other texts around the same time. It's used of war horses snorting in battle. It's a strong word. It expresses anger, actually. You know, when Jesus went to the tomb and saw that Lazarus, when he was faced with the fact that his friend Lazarus had died, he was angry. I don't know if you ever think about Jesus being angry. He wasn't just sad, he was angry. Why was he angry? Just think about it for a minute. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the person, the Bible tells us, who made everything. He made us. He created all life. He created life to share his goodness with us. And now he's staring in the face of death. And that makes him cross. That makes him angry because he's seen what he has made good and how sin and death and the devil has spoiled it and made it something that ends and is horrible in death. And that makes Jesus angry. So Jesus was angry in the face of death. Now, there's great comfort for us in this. There's great comfort for us in this. You know, if you are sad today because you have lost a loved one, please understand that Jesus knows how you feel. He knows exactly how you feel. If you're sad today because things haven't worked out in your life as you wanted them to, as you expected them to, as you dreamt they would, Jesus knows how it feels to be sad, to be a human being and disappointed and frustrated and angry at the way life has turned out. And that is good news for us, because it means that when you feel like that, and we all feel like that from time to time, don't we? When we feel like that, we can go to Jesus and tell him how we feel, knowing that he understands. He understands completely. And he doesn't want us not to pretend we don't feel these things. He wants us to go to him and tell him about it. Not to run away from him, but to run toward him. Even when we're angry, even when we say, Lord, why did this have to happen? Why hasn't it worked out as I wanted it to work out? He understands, and he wants you to tell him about that. Imagine that you live next to a gloomy, dark, scary house with boarded up windows, a bit like this, the garden's overgrown. And I don't know if you ever have this problem in our house, in your house. We have this problem. Perhaps there are other boys around here who have this problem. Do you have a problem with footballs, tennis balls, rugby balls kind of just going over the fence? They do it of their own accord, don't they? I don't know how it happens. They just fly over the fence. Does anyone else have that problem? A few. We have it a lot in our house, but I can't really complain because it is exactly a case of the sins of the fathers being visited on the sons. All I can say is in my day, the fences were a lot lower, but there we go. Anyway, imagine you're living next to this house, right? And your football goes over the fence and into the garden of this house. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. Imagine that up and down the road, people used to say about this house, there's an old man that lives in there, and he's hardly ever seen. And people say he's a wizard. And people say he eats boys and girls. Right. And your ball goes over the fence. So you go to your dad and you say, Dad, a bit shamefaced, because it's happened before, Dad, my ball's gone over the fence. And your father says, well, just go and knock and get it back then. Go and knock on the door and ask for it back. And you think, oh, okay then. That wouldn't be much good, would it? That'd be scary for you to go and knock on that door with a wizard there who eats the children. But what if your dad said, okay, son, come with me. I'll go with you. We'll go and better get it back together. Now, that's still not brilliant, is it? Because you've still got to go and knock on the door. But isn't it 100 times better if he goes with you? Friends, sometimes this life can be scary. It can be disappointing. It can be frustrating. It can be sad. But the good news is that wherever we are, Jesus has gone with us. He hasn't just said, you just go off on your own. He said, I'm coming with you. That is amazing, isn't it? And that's what we see in this story. Jesus has come with us. And that gives us so much. That's a wonderful thing. He's walked our road. He knows and he understands. And so if you feel like that, if you feel that nobody else understands, go to Jesus and tell him, because he understands. It's a wonderful thing. Instead of allowing your grief or your anger, your frustration to drive you away from him, allow it to drive you towards him. You know, that's true of all of our strong emotions. Perhaps you feel sad or angry or bitter about something. Well, Jesus can cope with that. He can cope with whatever you feel, because he knows what it's like to be human. So that's the first thing we've learned. We can tell him about that. The second thing we see in this story is that he waited. Did you notice that? Jesus waited. He heard that Lazarus was sick. This is what it says. But he waited. He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. And yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He waited. Now, why on earth did Jesus wait? How curious is that? The people around thought that was curious too. The very last bit of the clip that we saw, they said, some of the people said, Jesus had come by now, but Lazarus was dead by now. And some of the people said, well, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying? Why did he wait? Why did he wait? Well, you know, that's a very difficult question to answer. And the only hint we have is in verse 4 of the chapter, where it says, Jesus said, oh, I've left out the speech marks again. Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. Strange, isn't it? Because Lazarus had died, did die. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So it seems that Jesus knew that God would get more glory if Jesus died. That seems to be what we see here. He waited so that God would get more glory. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus is all powerful. There's nothing Jesus can't do. The Bible tells us he is in control, that when he wants to do something, he does it and nobody stops him. The Bible tells us that Jesus has power over death and over illnesses. The Bible tells us that he protects his people. And yet, Lazarus died. And yet, bad things still happen to God's people. Have you noticed that? Why is that? Well, it's an impossible question to answer, but we can draw strength from what we see here. Jesus knew Lazarus was ill. Jesus knew he was going to die, and yet he had quiet confidence. You see that quiet confidence he has, that still, through this situation, God can get glory. You know, we're not taken away from this world of fallen world of sin and evil when we become followers of Jesus. We still have to live in it, and we are protected in many ways. God protects us in all kinds of ways, but we're not protected from everything. Bad things still happen to us. But this is what we've got to grasp. Whenever bad things happen to us, it doesn't mean God has lost control. Throughout history, we even see God using bad things even to build his kingdom, to bring good out of it. He is brilliant at doing that. He's brilliant at doing that. It's amazing. That means that whatever sad or worrying circumstances we find ourselves in today, we can have a quiet confidence in the Lord. He is not taken by surprise by the things that upset us. We cannot understand, but we can trust. And that's good news. And we can pray that even in the dark times, God can still glorify, bring glory to his name. Recently, I met one of Tom and Esme's friends, Tom and Esme Laurie, their friend Ruth. She was staying with them, and she's a fascinating lady to talk to. She's a Jewish lady who's come to believe in Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. Now, she's a widow. When her husband lay dying in an Israeli hospital, one day in that hospital, they moved a man into the bed next to her husband. And it turns out that this man was a Palestinian terrorist. He'd been shot and he'd been airlifted to the hospital for treatment. He'd been involved in terrorist activities, and that's how he'd got shot. And so this is a man with hatred and murderous intent in his heart towards the Jews. Palestinian terrorist. Now Ruth, this Jewish follower of Jesus, she remembered that Jesus told us to love our enemies. And so she started to talk to this man. She cared for him. And eventually he recovered. He went back to Bethlehem, I think he was from. And he went back there. And she visited him there. Now for a Jew to go out to the Palestinian areas, that means going through security checks and all kinds of things. It's not easy for them to do. She went out to visit him there. And so the friendship has grown. Her husband died. That friendship grew. And amazingly, that man has now renounced violence and terrorism. He's not yet trusted in Jesus. This is a Muslim man. He's not trusted in Jesus, but she shares the gospel with him. And all of that came about because her husband was dying in that Israeli hospital. Now, would she rather that her husband was still alive? Well, yes, of course she would. Of course she would rather her husband didn't die in that hospital. But is she thrilled at how the Lord has used that grim situation to build his kingdom? Well, yes. Of course she is. Because the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? His wonders to perform, as the old hymn goes. So, you know, even in our grief, even in our sadness, we can have a quiet trust in the Lord. He is still in control. He's still working his purposes out. And he can still glorify his name, even through terrible tragedies. So that is how the story ends. Amazing. You know, a sly old fox once wandered past a cave in which he knew there lived a mountain lion. And from deep within the cave came this loud, deep voice. "Come on in, Mr. Fox, and pay me a visit. Lots of other animals have come in." "Oh, I don't think so," said the sly old fox. "You see, I can see all the other animals' footprints going in, but I can't see any coming out. You see that cave, that tomb? Death is the cave into which we all go in, but none come out until Jesus came along. And then it turned everything around. Because he turned it about. And here we see the amazing thing. What is happening here with Lazarus is that Jesus is pointing forward. He is pointing forward to the fact that he's pointing forward to his great victory that he would achieve, that he would bring about when he defeated death once for all. You know, here in the clip we saw, Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's amazing. But do you know where Lazarus lives today? Has anyone met Lazarus today? You haven't, have you? Because he's not actually alive today. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he didn't stay out of the tomb forever. He presumably, I don't know, but he presumably grew to be an old man. And then when the time came, he died and went into the tomb. You see, that resurrection, that bringing back to life that Jesus did there, it was actually only a sign of what was to come. But Jesus was pointing forward to his own coming back from the dead. But the difference is, when Jesus came back from the dead, he was never going to go into the tomb again. It was a new kind of life, a resurrection life, a life that would not ever be spoilt by death again. And so this is what we see with Lazarus. It's not just a miracle, it's a sign. It points forward to what Jesus would achieve when he died. You know, in John's Gospel, we've seen as we've gone through it, there are seven signs pointing forward to what Jesus is, the reason why Jesus has come. And this is the last sign that Jesus comes to bring life. That when he died, he took the curse of our sin. And that when God raised him up 3 days later, he was launching a new humanity in Christ. Humanity that was heading for the grave has been turned round and is heading in the opposite direction. He's destroyed the power of death over us. Death could not hold him. And that's amazing. That's the glorious truth of Easter. That is why we get so excited. Not because we have eggs and things, but because we have this new life in Jesus. And death cannot overcome it. Because of Jesus, death is not the end if we trust in him. Jesus came out of the cave. And if we nail our colours to his mast, then we will come out of the cave too. If he doesn't return between now and us dying. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We may go into the grave one day if we die before Jesus comes back. But if we're trusting in him, our eternal life that we have now will last forever. And we will be raised up too. You know, this isn't just about waiting for something to happen after we die. We can enjoy Jesus' resurrection life right now. It begins now. We don't have to wait till after we're dead. His transforming power, his power transformed the dark caves of our lives for our good and for his glory. And the raising of Lazarus was a sign pointing forward to this great victory. And it's this wonderful victory that we proclaim today, even in a world characterized by death. Death is all around us, isn't it? We see death all around us. But this is why we can trust. You see, this is why Jesus had that quiet confidence in the face of things going wrong. And it's why we can trust, even when things are going wrong for us too, or when they're hard. Because we know, well, what is the worst that can happen to us here? Well, death, I guess. But death itself is not the end. And Jesus' new life is at work here and now. And that's the reality of being a follower of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean to say we go through life not experiencing difficulties and hardships. Often we do. We feel weak. Often we feel that we're hopeless. We fail again and again, or we feel weak and we feel sad. But, you know, we have God's power. If we're trusting in Jesus, we have God's power at work in us. Jesus' resurrection life in us now, even when we feel weak. And that is real life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You know, when the Chinese dictator Mao Zedong died in 1976, they wanted to preserve his body. His physician was given the impossible task of trying to preserve his body, because they didn't like to think that this great man had actually died. It's a bit of a blow to their plan. So they preserved his body. They tried to preserve it. But, you know, the doctor in charge, while he'd seen how they tried to do this to other people in Russia, they tried to do it to Stalin and to Lenin, and they just go all wrinkled and horrible. And he knew it was an impossible task. But that was his orders from the people in charge. He had to try and preserve his body. And so they pumped a load of a chemical called formaldehyde into his body. But it all went horribly wrong. I mean, I won't go into the details. It was pretty gross, really. But this man, this dead body, just became all bloated, and formaldehyde started leaking out all over the place. They had to tear a rip down his jacket because he was so bloated, and they had to drape him in that flag to cover up the, you know, the worst bit. But they managed to get him through the funeral, which was only a few days later. But the doctor knew even that it wouldn't last. It was no good. But the powers that be insisted that they wanted to put his body on display in Tiananmen Square. And he, what could they do? Because this was just going to get worse. And so what they did is that they made a wax replica of the body. And they took from where his body was being kept, they took his body and the wax replica together to the tomb in Tiananmen Square. And now one of them is on display in Tiananmen Square. And nobody knows, not even the doctor, whether it's the wax replica or the body. Well, what a horrible story. What's the point of that? Well, you know, this man, he'd ruled China with a rod of iron for 27 years. But he was reduced to that wax replica. You know, the world around us tries to prolong life. It tries to preserve life. It tries to enrich life in all kinds of ways, with parties, with possessions, with all kinds of stuff. But really, without Jesus and his resurrection life, anything else is just really like preserving a corpse. That's what it's like. Because it cannot last. God's solution is not to preserve a corpse. It is to raise the dead. And that's the difference. So friends, what about you? Have you been raised with him? Have you put your trust in him? Have you recognized that it was for you and your sin that he died? And then if you say, yes, Lord, I trust in you, it's with him that you are raised to this new life that will begin now and last forever. If you haven't done that, you can turn to him today. You can trust him today. You can recognize your need of forgiveness, your need of new life. You can believe that he is Lord, believe he died for you, believe he's risen again, and then commit your life to following him. And then you can too can sing. We sing a song. We haven't sung it this morning. I love it. It's just a little song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it from the front. If you want to join in, that's fine. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because you're alive. Because you're alive, I live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we stand here today and we believe, because your word has told us that Jesus, the risen Lord, is here in our midst. And we bow down before him in awe and wonder, because he who was dead is alive. Oh, Father, we thank you for that, because that gives us all the hope that there is. In a world that looks like it's just headed down to destruction, you have turned it around, and in Jesus, we can head for life. We thank you for that. And we want to live in the power of that. This is not just a hope for something after we've dead, although that's a wonderful thought. It is a power for the here and now, and a reality for the here and now, because he is with us here, here and now. And so, Father, we pray that we will truly be resurrection people, living our lives with joy, with the eternal life that we have in Jesus. And Father, for anyone here who has not turned and put their trust in the risen Lord Jesus, and who's not knelt before him and given him their lives, I pray that today you will confront them with that, the Jesus who is alive. Know that, show them that he loves them, and then just give them faith to believe. And Father, may we all be found rejoicing when Jesus returns, when he ushers in the world we all want of justice and righteousness and goodness forever. And may we work towards that world now with all that we have, with the resurrection power that you've given us in him. In Jesus' name, amen.